everybody. I feel like we started a panto, but my panto isn't very good, so we're not going to do that one today. So I've been told I've got to finish by 12 o'clock, because Richard's told me he's got to go see the F1. Who's going to win, Richard? Everyone wants Lewis to win. He's British, isn't he? So, if you haven't been watching F1, it's very competitive at the moment, so just so you know. Is anybody feeling a little bit kind of weary and tired before Christmas? Like, we had our youth Christmas party this week. Marcus, I'm not joking, he had bags under his eyes. It's been one of those weeks, hasn't it? So if I'm not very coherent today, that's because I'm a little bit tired, but we're going to try and hold it together. Is that all right? So today we're not going to go into something really deep, but I'm hoping it might be thought-provoking for you. So if you come away with more questions than answers by the end of today, that's all right. Okay. So to start with, I've got a game for us to play. This is feeling very panto today. It wasn't planned. So I'm going to put some pictures up on the screen, and some of them are going to be logos. And part of the picture will be missing, and you need to tell me what you think the picture is. Now, we're not just playing the game for game's sake, okay? As we go through each picture, I'm going to tell you when in the UK this kind of was introduced. And then what I want you to do is either stick your thumb up, down, or in the middle, whether it's good, bad, or not sure. And also, you've got two hands, so if you're really confused, you can use both. Okay, is that all right? So could we stick up the first slide? Okay, does anybody know... I just saw the next slide on... Don't look behind you, by the way. yeah, we're going very panto. Does anybody know what this picture is of? I think I heard Royal Mail somewhere. Okay, could we have the next slide? So the Royal Mail started in this country in 1516. I reckon it would have been quite a revolutionary thing. You know, you used to... I don't know how you got your letters delivered before. Maybe you're just rich enough to have a servant. But, you know, maybe the Royal Mail then, you know, delivered your post in 2 weeks rather than a couple of days. I don't know if you're going up to the north of Scotland. Okay, next slide. Anybody know what this one is? Cadbury's. Could we have that next one up? That started in 1824, the chocolate that we know and love. I take chocolate over to Brazil, which I find really funny because we get our cocoa beans from Brazil and I hate their chocolate there. So then I send this chocolate over there because I think it's better than theirs. But anyway, it's partly because it's a warm country. Okay. Thumbs up, down. So I forgot that one with the Royal Mail. Okay, mainly thumbs up, I think. Okay, even next slide. RAF. I'm looking for a specific vehicle, maybe. Spitfire. Okay, go to the next picture up. 1938, introduced the Spitfire. Is that a good thing, a bad thing, negative thing? Okay, we won the war. Okay, mostly thumbs up. We love the Spitfire. Okay, 1938, that came into our country. Okay, next slide. What about this one? Strauss & Co. Martin, you're not allowed to reply. Levi jeans. Pam likes her jeans, don't you, Jane? Don't you, Jean? Don't you, Pam? Sorry. Okay, next slide. So that started in 1853, but it took us like 110 years for us to get Levi jeans in the UK. So there was a bit of a transition period. Okay, fab. Next slide. Anybody know what that one is? McDonald's. Could I have the next slide? Thumbs up, down, or in between? I got very mixed emotions. I actually put this one up for Sophie's got both thumbs up. She's like, she just eats McDonald's. That's all she eats, I think. Very mixed emotions with Mackey's. Do you know what? The amount of money I spend at Mackey's, I'll buy a meal and then about 30 minutes later, I'm still hungry. I have to buy like the 20 chicken nuggets. But anyway, sorry, moving on to the next one. I'm sidetracking. Next slide. Anybody know what this one is? Windows. Okay, Kate, you should know you're in that sort of industry-ish. Okay, Windows, Microsoft Windows, we got that in 1984. Well, Microsoft Windows was launched in 1984. Not sure when we actually got Windows. But can we just look at the next slide on this one? I find this funny. So you look at the logo at the beginning. We skip to Windows 11. Looks pretty similar. What happened at Windows 95? I mean, that is like the most terrible logo ever, isn't it? I literally don't know what happened. Okay, next slide. We're almost there. We're getting there. Anybody know what this one is? I'm hearing noise, but no clarity. Amazon. Younger generation. The logo has changed. Started in 1994 in the UK. 1998. That's been a big change. Has anybody seen the big Amazon factory in Redditch? They've applied for drone deliveries. You might be getting your presents on your roof. Maybe the kids will think it's Santa. I don't know. Next slide. Yeah, I really tried to hide this logo, but if you get the next slide up, it's actually kind of hard. I should have just done the uck at the end or something. Started in 2004 in the UK in 2005. I've completely forgot about thumbs up, down, or in the middle. What do people think? Yeah, I got to admit, I never liked Facebook from the beginning. It took me a while to get into it. I use Facebook chat. I don't really use Facebook much, but very mixed emotions. Okay, this next one I'm going to put up could be a little bit controversial. Some people might not want to say what they think it is, but some people might. Okay, anybody know? Okay, we've got some iffy hands. I'm just going to tell you this one. Next one. Pornhub. Okay, Pornhub was probably a widely launched pornography website. Pornography has existed for hundreds of years, but it's a thing that came viral into our country in 2007. Do you know the average age for a child to see pornography for the first time is probably the age of 8? So if you are a parent, this is something that we can't skirt around anymore. We need to be forward thinking and having conversations with our children. In fact, there's an organization called Exodus Cry at the moment. They are seeking to ban pornography across the board, okay? Websites like Hulu and stuff, it's already happened, okay? So that has a big effect on our culture, doesn't it? And I'm just going to put this last one. This is an easy one. iPhone. Interestingly enough, there's one more afterwards. iPhone started in 2007, right? Same year Pornhub started. So now pornography became readily available in your pocket without your parents seeing, without other people knowing, okay? Interesting, the timings of these things. Okay. Next and last but not least, Netflix. It's the old logo. Okay, started in 1997. Took a while actually to get to us, 2012. I think 1997 they were still posting stuff like Blockbusters. I don't know if anybody ever remembers DVDs or VHS tapes. Okay, yeah, that's where we're going back for. Okay, thumbs up, down, in the middle for Netflix. Very, very mixed emotions. Okay, so why am I sharing these things with you today? Okay, so you can turn that off if you want. Thank you. So we're all affected by things in culture, whether we like it or not. Now, some of us here will have an opinion on what we see because we knew what life was before those things, during those things, and after. But some of us will have ever experienced those things since birth. So we think some of those things are normal. Sometimes we might think some of those things are okay. And so we don't, unless you knew what life was before, you might not be living in the freedom of it now. There might be things in our culture that we have just inherited. Okay. So, what was I going to say? So I think it's always good for us to ask questions. I used to wind up my mum when she was driving, not on purpose, but as a kid I would ask ridiculous questions like, Mum, how fast does a plane have to be flying before it can take off? Those sort of questions. And my school reports, they I got one school report one year that says Josh asks too many questions. And then the next year it said Josh does not ask enough questions. But I'm now bearing on the side that I think it's a good idea to ask questions about stuff. So I think this is what I want to drill into us today and maybe this Christmas. Why don't we question some of the things in our culture and what we absorb into our own life? So often we can hear this kind of voice from the older generation. If you're feeling old, just remember there were people older than you, so imagine them talking to you. And they may have said, well, in my day, this was never a problem because. Okay, and the younger generation often just see that as that the older generation are moaning about how I should live my life. But maybe there is an ounce in truth in what they say. For example, in 1516, when the Royal Mail started, I bet it was a great opportunity to send letters to your friends and your family. Messages got there quicker than ever before. Now we have our mobile phones, and people get frustrated at us when we don't reply to them quick enough. I mean, what's wrong with an extra 30 minutes before a reply? I don't quite understand it. So our culture sometimes puts these demands on our life, and certainly since the introduction of technology, that has changed the way that we live our life, okay? Everything is has to be rapid, okay? I even know this within some of the youth work that I do. If I don't do regularly enough events, we lose interest from people, okay? So when we're reaching out to people, that's the culture that people are expecting. People are expecting the next thing all the time. Put your hands up in the last year if you've had to keep on an eye on your own mental health. Okay. So for me, this isn't something that I've really worried about, but it's definitely something that I've had to keep myself in check for. Over the last 10 years, maybe I've become more aware of it, but it seems like to me there's this massive rise in people struggling with their mental health. Okay. And I wonder how much this has been affected of things that have infiltrated our culture, and we've actually, knowingly or not, chose to adopt that into our own lives. So we're quite a consumeristic country, okay, compared to other countries. We spend a lot of money at Christmas time, like a lot of money. And some of that, we have this kind of mentality that we need to buy things in order to be happy. It's just standard across the board. If we're unhappy, we will try to do something to cheer ourselves up. We might go out and do a social outing, but we have this attitude almost of spending money in order to be happy. But I wonder, every time we add something to our lives, is that like an extra thing that we have to think about? I wonder if we've been struggling with our mental health so much because we keep acquiring things that needs our attention, that our brain keeps needing to use. And our brain has so much stuff it's got to process that we don't get the headspace to kind of declutter and wind down. So part of the reason why quality of sleep goes down is because our brains are still processing what's gone on in the day. So if you are running at 100 mile an hour till 10 or 11 o'clock, the issue with that is when you're sleeping, your brain is then having to process. Whereas if you have a break a couple of hours before sleep time, that is helping you to process your day. So a silly example, I should have put a picture up, but I forgot to do it. Anyway, is my dog Yoda. Now, Yoda is a corgi. He's a ridiculous looking dog because he's like a medium-sized dog with tiny legs. Okay, so he's a bit like a draft excluder. He's a bit chunky. Yes. He's cute. Yeah, I think he's cute. There's a problem. Well, there's multiple problems with Yoda. The first thing is he sheds a lot of fur. You can literally get a second dog out of him by brushing him. And me and Limmy don't do this, but to keep on top of the house, you would literally need to hoover like once every one day, every 2 days maybe, if you're lucky. The other thing is he's like completely useless. Like he can't do much. He's cute. Like you pet him. Feels nice, but he's pretty useless, okay? And we have to feed him, and we have to walk him, and that takes a little bit of time. And you can't take him anywhere on holiday. Like, first night, he's barking his head off. He just does not settle. And then if you choose not to take him away on holiday, then some sucker has to look after him. So, you know, sometimes when we take on something in our own lives, it adds a little pressure. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trading in my doggy just yet, okay? But that's just one thing that has been added into mine and Luma's life, which, you know, we have this conversation quite a lot, like, have you walked the dog? Did you feed him? I can't remember. Did we feed him? I don't know. But imagine if you had 100 things like Yoda. Okay. I mean, my house with 100 corgis, it just wouldn't work. Okay. But imagine if you had 100 things that you've got to process and you've got to go through in your life. Maybe that is what the way that we're kind of living now. And that really does affect us. Okay, going back to another cultural example, okay. So we looked at some of the cultural things on there. I'm going to skim over this one because of time. But in this country, we do have this kind of boozing Britain sort of mentality, okay. And we know this because if we take World Cup games, I think it was the 2016 games, I think 100 of our fans got arrested. Just because they were so bladdered out of their head before an event. And it's interesting if you compare that to just our neighbouring country, France. So France, in a safe environment in the family, teenagers are allowed to drink with their parents. And so when they get to 18, it's like, it's not this obsession. But I see this all the time. People turn 18, it's like, oh, I've got to have a drink. It's like this absolute obsession to get bladdered out of your head, and I don't quite understand it. But it is this culture that has seeped in, and maybe we've had it for hundreds of years. Who knows? Okay, so there is a cultural things that are good and there are bad, and some things that we inherit and some things we don't. And the last thing I just want to mention on this, because I'm concerned about time, is the rate of influence on our culture. So if you compare how long it took Levi's to arrive from America into the UK, you're looking at about 110 years, okay? If you look at something like Pornhub or Netflix, it's a very, very short amount of time. And for some of those things, we can say, yeah, they're good things or they're bad things, but some things that come into our culture, we don't know if they're good or bad until 10 years down the line. So actually deciphering how those things that affect our lives is really difficult sometimes. It's really challenging. Sometimes it's more obvious than others. But we do really have to kind of question the way that we live. So we're coming on to the main chunk of what I really want to talk about today. Now, I may be a little bit odd. I think most of us at Christmas would like to say that we have fun and we relax. Is that the aim for most of us? Yeah. For some of us, Christmas can be stressful, for some of us not, and sometimes that changes from year to year. But there's always a point in time for me, over the Christmas break and other holiday breaks, if I manage to relax enough, create enough headspace to think, okay, that I automatically start to reflect on my own life. So it might be, what are some of the things that I want to achieve that I haven't? What am I happy with? What am I unhappy with? What do I need to change? And there are also times where I think about all the things I want to do and all the things I also want to cut out. You know, there's some of those things in culture that we inherit and we want to get rid of them. And sometimes we don't even know how to get rid of them or we just want to cut them out. Luma will tell you this. One of the things that I did recently was bought myself a digital alarm clock for the side of my bed. And it's because often in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, what time is it? How long have I got still left in bed? And then I'll see a notification on my phone, read a message for somebody, and that'll get me thinking, and then I can't get back to sleep again. So I'll put an alarm clock on the side. And that's what my way of trying to break out of the culture in that respect. Okay. So it's not for me, started up on this stage, to tell you or to judge you on what is good or bad in your life. And I wonder, this season for you guys, are you going to put some time aside to actually ask God, what is it in my life that I need to do? I'm not a massive fan of New Year's resolutions because I kind of have the viewpoint that we should be constantly reassessing our lives. But I do like the idea of resolutions because actually it gives us a goal and a focus and something to walk towards. So if something controls us, we're actually a slave to it. So we'll use the example of something like your notifications on your phone. If as soon as they go off, you're looking at it and then you find yourself scrolling through Instagram or other social media stuff, we are actually probably a slave to that. Okay, so therefore, we're not living in a freedom. We're living in some sort of slavery in our own life, okay? And it makes me laugh, actually, that people think that Christianity is all about living with strict rules. And there's no freedom at all in that. Where actually, these are boundaries which enhance our life and give us more freedom. And I wonder how often our life is controlled negatively by external things and stop us from actually reaching our full potential. So there's a number of things that can rob us of our time, our relationships, our stress levels, our physical and mental health, and most importantly, our relationship with God. So with all that we've talked about so far, I kind of want to ask you those two questions. This Christmas, are you winding down? And do you have time to reflect upon your own life? And the second thing is, do you feel like I feel that we're in a constant battle for our lives and the lives of those around us? So some of us in this room will say, oh, every day is a spiritual battle. Some of us will be like, yeah, I just get on with it. But I really do feel that standards slip very easily in our own lives. I notice this within the youth group, you know. Sometimes unless there's a level of discipline that we put in quite quickly, within 2 or 3 weeks, we're really struggling to have any productive sort of session with the young people. So have we got those kind of boundaries in our life? And are we in a constant battle? I feel like personally we are. And more things are coming in quicker at us. And the quicker we can kind of decipher what we do with those things in our own lives, I think is better for all of us. So in Ephesians 6:12, it does tell us, for our struggle is not against flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Can we have that verse up, Ruth? Oh, Rose is not there. Or she's shrunk. No, she's not there. Could you have a scripture up? Is that all right? Ephesians 6:12. Oh, Martin is like multitasking. I didn't think men could do that, but. So it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Do you know, when we think of battle, sometimes you think of guns and punching and bombs or Spitfires or whatever you think of. But actually, there is this spiritual battle that we're facing. And I want to highlight this to you today. If you didn't know we're in a spiritual battle, please spend more time praying with God, because when we spend more time with God, he allows us to see and open our eyes. You know, when people first become Christians, he starts to identify those areas in our life that we need to improve. But, you know, sometimes as Christians, we're not always good at recognizing that we are in this kind of spiritual battle and that we need to stay alert. We need to stay focused. So the other thing is that we're called to live differently. And I want to suggest that Christians are called to live differently to those that do not have relationship with God. It's not that Christians should judge or condemn other people. I want us to get that completely out of our head. Okay, but Christians are called to be an example and show people how Jesus showed us how to live. And it's a better way to live. We enjoy it. We don't have the consequences of bad actions in our life if we're doing it well. So Christmas is coming. The whole reason we celebrate Jesus' birth is because when Jesus came to this earth, there was this massive shift in a battle for freedom. He came to forgive us for our sins. He came and he died on the cross so that we didn't have to be a slave to things in the world. Now, as Christians, we are not perfect, okay? And still, sometimes, we're taking those things on board. And we're not living truly in the freedom that God has already given us. It's like a free gift, but we're not taking it. We're not taking it from under the Christmas tree, okay? We're not always receiving it. Sorry, Richard, we're 4 minutes over. Should we have a look to see where people are in the race? Oh. Hamilton's crashed, Bailey. Sorry. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Do you know most of the battles that we're going through, there's something in our mind, isn't there, that we've got to work through? Whether we're nervous, whether we're challenged, whether we're anxious, there is this battle. And that is the challenge for us, for all of us, that we need to be transformed, okay? And even, there's a transformation that happens when we become Christians, but I do believe there's an ongoing transformation for all of us. You know, this is a constant thing that we need to be trying to assess in our own lives. So some of the cultural things that we talked about today, in small doses, might not actually be too bad for us. But if they start to dictate how we live our lives, that means that we become a slave to it. We're not submitting to the freedom that Jesus gave us when we were born on this earth and he died for us. So in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a challenging message, isn't it? But if we love God more than anything else, we will follow him, won't we? We will give up all of those things that aren't important. So why is that? Why can't we love some of the things in the world and have God's love in us? It's because by definition, God is love. And where there is an absence of God or we choose to bypass God, there's this thing and this word that none of us kind of like, and it's this word sin. It's the absence of God. So what does sin do? In reality, it enslaves us. It enslaves us. So therefore, if we're enslaved by it, it means these things have power over our lives. And Jesus doesn't want that for us. As Christians, sometimes we accept the power of the enemy over our lives instead of the power of Jesus in our lives. And that's why he came to show us this better way to live. So I mentioned earlier about how some people have lived before negative cultural things started. They know that we are better off with things that enslave us than the things that enslave us, because they know what the freedom was like before those things come into play. But some of us don't even know that we're enslaved by these things. So we need God to show us the things that we're enslaved by, okay? And this is where relationship is really important. We've got a whole host of angels and brilliant. It's great. I think God's speaking. So a very quick example. If we can switch on our Netflix and wind down at the end of the day, might not be a bad thing. But it's not good if we don't have the power in our lives to switch off the Netflix when we need to do something different, when we need to go to sleep, cook food, walk our useless dog. We become this slave, okay? You could say we love Netflix more than God in that particular moment. So we're forfeiting our freedom, and at times we all do this, whether we're Christians or not. The difference is that if we're a Christian, I guess what we should be doing is that we've kind of committed to change, haven't we? By saying we're submitting to God, we've committed to this lifestyle of change. And if you don't do this already, I just want to encourage you, if you can put time, space, headspace in your diary to look at your life constantly and just have that time of review, it can really, really help us. Okay, I've got more scriptures, but I'm going to move on. I think the other thing that we're called to live differently. The other thing I think we're called to do is figure it out with God. Do you know God loves to have a relationship with us? and he loves to show us things and a better way to live. In 2 Corinthians 10:2-5, Martin, I don't know if you can pull that one up. It says, I beg you that when I come, I might not be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of the world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. But we demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There's definitely this sense, isn't there, that there's stuff that we've got to figure out in our mind, that we've got to lay it down, and we've got to hold anything, any bad thoughts or bad inclinations or bad desires, we've got to hold those captive so that we're obedient to God. And let me tell you guys, it's not going to stop. These things keep coming at us. So one of the things that we can do to help figure it out, and I think as Christians, we would all, if I asked you the question, are we all good at praying in church, we'd probably all put our hand up because it's the British thing to do. But I wonder if we can be better at praying. And praying is one of the most, is the best weapons that we have. It says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, that is every situation that we find ourselves in, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God wants us to have this relationship with him and speak with him. Romans 12 verses 1 to 2, it says this, and I think this is a little bit more practical. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It says here, do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we've already talked about it. And then it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. Do you know what? I think one of the things that we just need to do is to have a win. We need to try and not conform to the patterns of this world. And if we do that enough times, it becomes easier. Have you ever heard someone say something like this? You don't know what you're missing out on until you don't try. And I think that's a little bit like that with our relationship with God. Sometimes we've got to explore things and try things, okay? And when we do that, we start to get wins. So imagine every time people might be tempted, got to be careful with children in the room, to watch that thing on the screen that we talked about earlier, and we choose not to watch it, that is a spiritual battle and is a massive win for us. Imagine every time we're tempted to watch something when we should be looking after our children, when we should be washing the dishes, and when we should be getting our house in order, that is a spiritual battle and a massive win for us. And imagine every time somebody else demands our time and our energy and dictate the way that we live our lives, and we turn around and say, do you know what? No, I don't actually have time for this Christmas, because actually my family is the most important at this point in time. That is a massive spiritual win for us. And the more we do it, the easier it comes to do it again. So it's like there was this big hurdle, and now there's this mouse-sized hurdle, and it's just a really easy hurdle to step over. Okay, the problem becomes easier. And in Galatians 5:16, it says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's walk with the Holy Spirit who Jesus has sent us. If we don't spend time with God, we don't have time with the Spirit, it's not going to help us, okay? So we're called to live differently. We're called to figure it out with God. And this is the last thing. I've got two last things, but I'm going to skip over. I'm going to do one quickly. I think one of the things that we're meant to do as Christians is to invest in the lives of other people. Once we've overcome a really big obstacle in our lives, and we see somebody else struggling, why don't we come alongside those people and help those people? Maybe this Christmas there's somebody that you can come alongside. The last thing is this. We will get resistance when we battle with the way of the world. There's this great scripture in John 15:19. It says, if you belong to the world, it would love you. You know, if you went out and did everything in the world, everybody's going to love you and you're going to be their friends. But it doesn't mean your life is going to be better. But it says, as it is, you do not belong to the world because I've chosen you out of the world. Jesus chose us to live this different life. And that is why sometimes the world hates you. Okay, that's why the things of the world sometimes hate you. When you get resistance, you are going to constantly have resistance. And that's wearing and that's tiring. And sometimes we've got to create that space to refresh ourselves. So when we choose to live our life differently to other people, some people will not understand it. They will think you're bonkers, okay? I just had this thought because I just made eye contact with somebody that's saying to me that. They were speaking to their colleague the other day, and they're like, why do you go to church? Okay. They don't understand it. It's a strange concept. We may well get stick for the way that we live our life. Okay. But because we've put those boundaries in place, we'll be better for it. I'm not going to read it through. If you want to do some more study or stuff reading for yourself, John 17, there's a scripture that talks about Jesus praying for us, and he knew he was going to die on the cross, and he knew that it was going to be difficult for his disciples to live out their life. And if you want to read that in your own time, and maybe accept that prayer in your own life that Jesus is for you, that he is living for you. We just read this, we sung earlier, Reckless Love, and it says, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, come in after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, come in after me. Do you know, we are not alone in this world. It might seem like challenges are too difficult, but this Christmas, let Jesus help you with it. Jesus came to this earth because he just loves you so, 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 so much. Could we have the band up, please? I think sometimes part of the battle is that we don't live in the freedom that Jesus gives us. So, to summarize, maybe there's just one thing that you want to take away from what you've heard today. But I just want to ask you that question again. This Christmas, is there going to be some time where you listen, you sit down, you relax, listen to see what God is telling you? And maybe there's just one challenge that God is going to have for you, maybe for 2022 coming up. Is that all right? Should we pray? And then we've got a song, which is, Chris?
A really fast one.
Yeah. It's a really fast one because he's got to go faster than Hamilton then. Go. We've got something to do with the children as well. Okay. We'll pray. Children, you can come up as I pray. Father God, I just thank you for everybody in this room, Lord. I thank you that you love us so much. Lord, I pray this Christmas will be a good one for all of us. But Lord, we put our hands out and Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you'll take our life. You'll use it, and we will be the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be. Lord, I pray that maybe the things and the challenges and the tough times that we go through, Lord, we can use those things for your good and bless other people as well. In your precious name, amen.